This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home.
You're listening to Richer and the Mailman here on Place to Be Nation Network. And now your hosts, Josh Richer and Jeff Machado. When you're on a holiday, you can't find the words to say all the things that come to you. Hey, this is not the life you live every day. Tread lightly. Tread lightly. Tread lightly. Tread lightly.
Tread lightly indeed. Wow.
Yeah, bad ass.
Yeah, that was a great first episode to start off this half right here. I expected it to be really good, but I didn't expect it to be as good as it was. I'd give it an A if I was gonna grade it there. That was top notch. Yeah, even for that show.
That's a solid A. I mean, you didn't expect them to jump off that quick, but they wasted no time whatsoever.
Yeah, so I don't even know where to begin here, because obviously we started off where we thought we were going to start off. If you listened to the last podcast, which we're assuming that you did. Oh, by the way, before we say anything, there are spoilers contained within the context.
Yes, this is a full fan podcast.
Yeah, so you better either catch up or just turn this the fuck off right now, but don't delete it. Just listen to it. Whenever you catch up, I don't know, that's whenever you decide you want it to be, but that's up to you.
Yeah,
you know,
just save it for later or whatever.
Yeah, just save it. But either way, we're going to proceed ahead now. I mean, we called it last time. We said, I did at least. I think you agree.
Yes, you said that they would go back to the flash forward.
Yeah.
As they did in Live Free or Die, the first episode of the season.
Flashing us to somewhere around birthday number 52 for Walter White, a.k.a. Heisenberg, a.k.a. the one who knocks, a.k.a. the danger, a.k.a. car wash entrepreneur, fingers crossed.
He's really going to make it happen, I think.
Yep, so we're at his 52nd birthday yet again, and... or around that, he's still wearing pretty much the same clothes. And now he's got the car, he's got the ammo, and we're back in modern times at the White household.
Hmm. Well, by modern times, you mean...
Well, what I assume is to be the...
like the present of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's happening. We don't want to get into some time travel shit right here, okay? Let's not start...
Yeah, we're not going to focus on the timeline, but it was...
By the future, I mean probably the present. It really comes down to it.
Hmm. So there will be eventually things that happen as they're happening.
Yes. And that's where we are.
Is what you're saying.
So he's at the White Household. It's fucking trashed completely.
Kids skateboarding in the pool.
Kids skateboarding in the pool, which is just awesome.
Yeah, I mean.
Awesome move there. It's all boarded off. Like, the town has boarded it off. I'm assuming because it's been abandoned. We don't know.
It looks pretty bad for only being a few months. There's a lot of overgrowth and spray paint and stuff. So they're not doing a really good job of, like...
No. No one's there.
Maintaining this crime scene...
Walt Jr.
...historical landmark.
He's not walking out of his bedroom now.
Yeah, so this was a great cold open, again, but this was even better than the Live Free or Die opening, because now you actually have information. You know, definitely, everybody knows who he is.
Oh, yeah, his name is spray-painted right there.
His name is spray-painted. There's a reason the house has been shut down. The White family has been relocated. Maybe Skylar's in jail. I don't know. But his next-door neighbor is deathly afraid of him.
Carol?
Carol.
Carol, that was great. That was a nice little touch. And I like how they brought it back again after they opened up the show back in... somewhere prior to 52, where we left off with Hank in the bathroom, but we'll get to that. But when Carol sees him again that time, and it was waving him on like it's the friendliest, like
Hi, Carol.
Hey. That was beautiful. A nice little device they did there.
Yes, very clever on the part of the writers, who I have no problems with whatsoever.
Well, did this redeem them for you a little? Did it get a little cred?
It got a lot of cred, I think, because, you know, the way the story moved forward after we came back to the things that we know, with Hank being in the bathroom, and it moves along pretty good. I mean, actually, that first scene before, when they flash back to before he went to the bathroom.
Yes.
That scene, because they had that thing where they're all sitting around and chattering, you know?
Yes.
It's like that, they're doing that when they tell newscasters who are doing, when the credits are rolling, just like make fake banter. And that's clearly what they were telling them to do, and you can hear Walter be like, yeah, there's not enough hours in the day. And then you hear, like, Marie say, oh, yeah, there's low prices. So, like, she's talking about shopping with Skylar, and then Hank's like, yeah, there is not enough hours in the day. Like, that's what their friendship is.
They were saying something else, too.
Just parroting each other. But other than that, I think it was a solid writing episode, particularly with the Jesse stuff.
Yes.
And with the climax, which was, like, the greatest few minutes in television history, I'd say.
It's so tough, too, because it's like, I can already think of other ones that it's on, that it could be on par with, and even thinking about this climax, which obviously we're gonna get to, but we're gonna hold back a little, kind of get us there. I can think about other episodes, and those are like top five episodes of the series, and then they're already in that higher echelon of like scenes in shows. Period.
Yeah,
like that's how good they are, and this one just fits right in there, like top three. I think it's up there with 1 minute.
That's why I give them credit, because just when you think that there can't be any more quick jumping, like, how are they going to let all this stuff happen? And then there's a scene that you're like, wow, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
And you're never going to forget it. It's like epic,
yeah,
all-time television.
But where we're at right now is Carol is fucking scared shit of Walter White. She has seen a ghost. Possibly. She probably thinks it might be a ghost for all we know. But I kind of like when we stop there, like, so what he's doing there is he's going into the house and he's retrieving that ricing. Well, it was the cigarette, right?
Yeah, he had the little vial, which is funny because, so he goes back to get the poison. He put it behind the electric socket plate. The entire house is trash. There's nothing that resembles anything. The floors are ripped up. But that socket is just perfectly, like, sitting there. It's not been touched whatsoever.
Yeah, I find that a little suspect. Like, there's got to be copper in there, and we know there's a lot of meth heads in Albuquerque, so I'm assuming that someone would have gotten in there and stripped that.
And what about the investigators?
Like, found a cigarette.
They're going to be looking. They're going to be tearing that thing up. I mean, someone could use it in their own house. It's a nice cover.
But that's why it's such a good hiding spot.
You never think,
Jeff. That's why he put it there. He's Eisenberg. He's the best villain that's ever existed.
Yeah, so clearly Carol has reason to be afraid of the guy. He's got a giant shotgun in his trunk, and he's there to retrieve poison to, we assume, kill somebody. Who is it going to be? Why does he need it? Why didn't he just make more ricin? Like, aren't there beans everywhere? How long does it take to make this stuff? I don't know, but he's there. He's getting it, and we're going to find out more, I assume.
Yeah, we're going to find out who that ricin is for. That's what I keep wondering, though, about
how
the structure of the season is going to be is, when are we getting to that point at, like, 52nd birthday point? Or, you know, like, leaving Denny's with this ammo. Like, when are we going to get to see that what is supposed to play out here play out? That's something I'm really interested to see. Are we going to get pieces in all 8 episodes? Or are we talking, like, episode 8 or 7 and 8 even are going to be that moment?
I think each episode is going to have a very important discovery. Because if we had done our last podcast previewing the season and you had said, when do you think Walt and Hank are going to just acknowledge everything and it's all going to be at the table? We probably would have said, I don't know, episode 5, 6.
Yeah.
And we were totally wrong about that. So that's already happened. So really anything can happen. Anything can happen like next week.
Oh, that is frustrating.
It is very
frustrating. And awesome at the same time.
Yeah, there's like, only 7 episodes
left. I had to remind myself of that today.
40-minute episodes. It's not even like an HBO show where they can go $1.10. We're talking commercials here, man.
No, they're like 48 when it's high.
Whatever.
I've noticed. Well, so we've got the ricin now, and we're moving back. So the most insane thing about showing us this, like this, the extent to how much he has known and feared at that point where he's the man from sitting in a Denny's there, you know, from New Hampshire. Right for after that commercial, we're immediately back to when Hank walks out of the bathroom after discovering Leaves of Grass.
Yeah. And I got kind of gypped. I was looking forward to the Schrader scene, him just pretending, like sitting down normally. But they went the more realistic route, which is he was too shaken up and he just had to go home. I don't feel well. Even though I was totally fine when I just went to the bathroom, I got to get out of here.
Well,
I'm going to have the
bathroom stuff, buddy. People don't question about it. If you go to the bathroom and then you come out and you say, I need to go home. Things are not so well down there.
Why didn't I know that in school? I would have just got up, go to the bathroom, and then come back and said, oh, something's going on here.
Really? You never knew that?
I never thought of that because I'm an idiot.
Wow. I'm actually surprised. I thought that was common knowledge. It's lying, Jeff. Walter White knows how to do it.
Well, Walter White is a great liar.
Why can't you be more like Walter White?
White invented, through chemistry, a substance that he could ingest, and it would make him a great liar. That's how good he is.
Do you think that happened?
No.
Oh, damn. Which we really get to see how good of a liar Walt really is in this episode, I'd say. Or at least how much he thinks he is. But first, I mean, you said Hank was shaken up. I think it's a little bit more than that. I mean, I thought he was going to explode.
Yeah, it's a combination of sort of nausea, guilt, regret, anger, rage, all rolled into one thing, which Dean Norris pulls off rather well, I must say. This is a great episode for all the actors. Just incredible stuff, particularly Jesse, but...
Yeah, Jesse was really good in this episode, but he didn't do a lot.
Exactly. He didn't even it was just him sitting there feeling terrible.
He looked like he was a piece of shit under someone's boot. That's how much I bought Aaron Paul as being so tortured.
Yeah. It made me feel like a bad person because if it wasn't for Aaron Paul, I probably wouldn't think of the kid on the dirt bike anymore. I'd be like, "Oh, that was something that happened." During one of these episodes.
Remember that time? Yeah.
But then they cut to Jesse, like, staring out the window, and you're like, oh, yeah. He's really sad about that little boy.
Yeah, Drew Sparks, I believe his name was. Jesse was really sad about that, which we'll see later with all the wonderful things that he does to brighten the world of the folks of Albuquerque. Mm. So what we got to see in this episode, which I thought was really interesting, is what happens when a drug kingpin decides to retire and can't spend any of his money.
Well, it's...
Or it needs to launder it first.
It's a tale as old as time, you know? He makes a lot of money in the drug business, he retires, everything's going great, and then disaster! It's just not going to happen. Something is going to be pulled back into his life, or the things that he thought were fine aren't really fine to the people around him, because, you know what, it's not cool that we killed a bunch of people, and it's not cool that I'm married to a guy who killed a bunch of people, and it's not cool that
I think she looked okay this episode. She didn't look like she hated Walt's guts.
She kind of looked like she was...
She looked like she was better.
I don't know, because you got the scene with Lydia where she tells her to get out and
never come
back.
That's an honest reaction, though, because here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that she is psyched because now she's got all this money, and they still got the car wash business. And as far as she knows, okay, all the loose ends have been tied up, which is probably something she didn't want. Because you got to remember, at this point, Skylar has been – her moral compass is – completely off still. You think that she started to get it a little back last time, but not really. She's spending that drug money every day. Like, that's the money that she's buying all her stuff with.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's from a car wash, and you could say that some of it's going from a car wash, but I don't think Skylar's like, you know, this money's coming from the car wash, but this is the good money to spend. This is the legit. No, it's not that. She is, like, I think she's cool with, or she's trying to be cool with, what has actually happened at this point. Now, when Lydia comes in and tries to lure Walt back in. You know, they keep trying to bring me back in here. You know,
yeah,
like
it was very Godfather-esque.
Very Godfather-esque again. When that happens, I think Skyler's response is more like, "Stay away from us because he's finally out and I feel safe."
Yeah, but she knows Walt too well.
Does she?
She knows that she doesn't know him, if that makes any sense. So I don't buy that. Because she's like, he'll be fine if I'm the only influence in his life, but if these stupid broads who bring a rental car in to get washed at a car wash come around and start asking questions, then he's going to start doing crazy stuff again. Which is exactly, I think, like, she tells him it's the quality of the meth is down to 70%. Well, he's Heisenberg. He wants to make those Czech Republicans happier.
Republicans? Is that what they're called? I don't think so, but that was great. I love it. Now I'm just picturing a bunch of guys that sound like they're from like the Czech Republic.
In like yuppie suits and stuff.
Yeah, but also yelling about like defunding Obamacare and building the border fence.
I'm sick and tired of spending my hard-earned money on these meth heads in the hospital. It's not my fault. I didn't tell him to take meth.
Well, yeah, you're okay. So, but you got a point. Obviously, like that's Lydia thinks it's gonna work because she knows that Heisenberg. His name rings out everywhere. Say my name. She knows that, you know, like that. Telling him how the quality has gone down is the way to get him in. Yeah. Pretty sure, because that's the way to him. Is he's a perfectionist, and if the name of Heisenberg, which he has retired, is associated with this blue meth, he doesn't want this blue meth to like sully that name, that legend that he built.
Yeah, I mean,
I think
I'm
he kind of gets off on that sort of thing.
I'm just making the insinuation there because he never actually says that. He tells her, you know, he still wants to be out.
Yeah,
but
I think that he doesn't.
Yeah, I feel like there's going to be something, especially. You know, getting back to the climax, you're still going to get the impression that he enjoys being a master criminal. So I don't know how long he was going to go with the whole car wash thing. I mean,
he's
imposing his control freak attitude onto the situation. He's telling Skyler, this is where I want the fruity car air fresheners. And
well,
you want to
sell better ones that way.
Yeah.
Knows how to market, I guess.
He's a guy who is really bored. Like, he was a chemistry teacher, and he was washing the car of this punk kid in his class who wouldn't even, like, stop talking to his girlfriend in class. And he becomes, you know, he wants to be the best at something. He had that conversation with Jesse. Don't you just want to be the best at something? And now that's gone, and he's, well, I might as well have my car wash be as successful as possible and buy other car washes. I might as well do something.
That was a great plan, though, because that's essentially what you're supposed to do if you're in that sort of position. Like, he totally nailed it. Like, and I think that's why he was a control freak there, was because he was basically, you know, like, saying, I know how we're going to do this. You got to listen to me, Skyler. But unfortunately, she doesn't want to because she's been running this the whole time and it's been fine. But that's the thing about Walt. Is no matter what it is, he's going to stick his nose in to what you're supposed to be doing because he thinks he can do it better. Because if it was up to Walt, there would just be 1,000 Walts running around, running his empire, all doing what they're supposed to be doing, or the right way, for instance, so he wouldn't have to do it a second time. I really feel like that's like...
Yeah, but he would still get the credit. He's a big credit guy.
Yeah. Because they're all a bunch of little Walts.
But I just don't know. I don't buy this whole... It doesn't make sense to me, like, a lot of the plot of the show.
Well, like right you just now said, he's trying to be like Gus. He's trying to, like, build this empire, like, as far as, like what he did with the chicken.
Exactly. He's trying to be like Gus, and everybody loved Gus. Gus had all these people working for him. He had this whole worldwide conglomerate thing.
Guys like
But then
Tank,
when Walter tries to do it, they're
I
like...
mean Walt, sorry.
Nobody likes Walt.
They do. Mike Those two was, guys that show that were at Hank's house, dropping off the stuff, they seem to, like, think Walt was... The bee's knees, Jeff.
Yeah, because they thought he was a chemistry teacher.
And a cancer patient.
And a cancer patient.
Which he is.
You're right.
That's another big thing. And I don't know, maybe that's something we should talk about too here. Like, where Walt getting out. Now, we find out here, this is the big episode, which again, I said last time. He's got cancer again.
You were right about two things so far.
So two things. Probably no more things after this. Because I was completely wrong about the cat and mouse like way that this.
Yeah, there was no cat and mouse.
No cat and mouse at all. But Walt's got cancer again. And we see him getting treatment. And then we see him puking, which is how he discovers that the book is missing, which is pretty astute observation there.
Yeah, very astute. I mean, I am not a big bathroom reader, but if there were a bunch of books and stuff in my bathroom, I don't think I'd immediately notice that one of them was gone.
Well, I last night when we were watching this together, because friends do that with each other. They get together and watch Breaking Bad. I think you guys should do it too, just plugging that. Breaking Bad parties across the USA.
Let's make it a thing.
What you were noting last night, what you said was, well, it's like he was reading it in the bathroom. That's why it was in there.
Yeah, like he was on a certain section. Oh, it's Leaves of Grass. It's not like the Great Gatsby. You know, it's not like, oh, I got to know what happens.
But that's did we say this last time? We did say this last time. We're repeating ourselves, Jeff. I was going to say, well, it's, good poems are good. They're short. And you're going to say, well, some people are...
I have no recollection of that whatsoever.
Wow. Oh, that's sad.
I also, don't read in the bathroom, so I don't get it. But
that's neither here nor there.
Why didn't Walt just say, oh, yeah, Gail Bettiker, I had him as a student back in the day. Why does it have to be...
You can check that. That's you can verify that sort of information.
I met him at a chemistry conference.
Bingo.
There's a bunch of different things he could have... But, all right, we're not going to go into... I'll have my own time to break down the holes in the story.
You will. So Walt's got his cancer again, and he hasn't told anyone, from what we can tell. We find out later, during the whole ending, that he hasn't told anyone. But why do you think this is? And also, do you think that he did get out of the game because he realized he's dying, and what's the point of going forward, trying to make even more money where, you're going to die? Like, he's made the money to take care of his family. He's made the money to take care of his bills. He can even prolong his life with treatment, the money that he's got.
Well, I guess they're going to have to let us know, because when they had that whole thing where she showed him the money and he's like, I'm out, there was never any revelation about cancer then.
Well, we did see him a lot at the doctor's office getting a new checkup. He did tell that guy, remember? He had the conversation with him about... what it was like, because that guy was like, I just found out, I had cancer, and was all shaken up about it, and Walt kind of told him about what it's like, and he sat there calm as, a man who's cured, but then after that, we didn't really get to, I remember there was a scene after that, at some point, where they kind of just made me think that, yep, he's got it again.
All right, so what do you, like,
and then the pills, when he popped the pill and Live Free or Die, They made it very clear that you should be noting that he's popping a pill in that episode.
Yeah. Well, if you could get inside his head, you want to retire because you have 6 months left to live.
I am the world's best meth cook and super villain.
Money is no object.
Money is no object.
Why are you going to try to retire to be
got
with
cancer
your...
for the second time.
Second time or third.
Second time. Or
two
third.
Times.
And
is he planning something else?
I killed a man. I just killed a bunch of other people, and everybody hates me.
So wouldn't he want to go out in a blaze of glory, so to speak? Why would he retire? I don't understand.
I think it's more. He just wants to sit back and enjoy the rest of the time he's got left. I mean, he already accomplished essentially. Now this is if I'm Walt. I've already accomplished everything. I've made the world's best meth. That's what we're starting to get the impression of. That's probably the best meth ever anyone's ever had.
What are you even questioning it for? We're talking about 98%. Gail Bettiker had this amazing lab. I'm like 96%. Give me a break.
Okay, so I've made the world's best meth, and I've made all this money. And there's nothing else left for me to do. I've am the top dog in the Southwest region. The cartel got knocked off. He made fucking Declan tell him to say my name like he was getting off on it.
Is it possible that he's setting himself up for a big revelation? Like he wanted to be outed. No. Just something to think about for Nick for, okay. as they come out, because it's not like I said, why didn't Hank just arrest him right there or kill him? But he doesn't, because there's going to be some other course of action these guys take, and I can't figure it out what it is.
Then why don't you just fucking die already?
Well, you know what that sound means, Josh.
Oh, there he is. He's surly, huh?
That is the
surly Walter Jr.
Walter Jr. And this is the part of the show where we recap Walter Jr.'s role in the episode. Now look, we could sit here and talk for an hour just about Walter Jr. So we're going to have to suck it up somehow and only focus on the highlights.
Okay.
And this brings me to the single most important question that came out of this episode, which was, what will be the consequences of the bowling night being canceled?
Well, I know one consequence. Someone's looking to get home later.
Yeah. All right. So, in classic dramatic fashion, Bryan Cranston, the director, has let us see Walter Jr. sitting at the dining room table eating food.
Again.
And they're supposed to go on this bowling trip with Uncle Hank, but it's been canceled because he's still sick, quote unquote.
He was doing the quotes.
But think about it. I mean, if they don't go bowling when they were supposed to go bowling. All right, obviously, I'm just having some fun because it's just a totally useless interjection.
That's all you can do, because there was nothing else. The scene did nothing else other than to say, oh, Hank's not coming tomorrow, and for Walt to go, whoop.
But maybe if Walt... For Walt to just get up and bolt to the bathroom and start throwing up, maybe, I don't know, this could be an opportunity for Skylar to ask Walter Jr. about something that's actually happening in his life. Like, what is he doing? Is he seeing a girl? What's happening with his friends?
Well, I'm assuming that's why he wants his curfew to do later.
What about his disease, his MS? Like, is there anything
he's
new that he's...
He's got cerebral palsy.
He's got cerebral palsy?
Yeah.
Very different diseases.
It's very different.
And are they even diseases? I don't know. Maybe they're conditions or something. I don't know. But the point is, all you ever see this kid... All right. Can I have a late curfew? Is she going to give him a late curfew? Because that could be disastrous. Walt could be out doing whatever he's doing.
And Walter could be getting into drugs.
He could be getting into drugs. And Walter Jr.'s out and about, and boom, like, oh my God, I had no idea Walter Jr. would be out this late. He was supposed to be bowling tonight. Just ruin the entire fabric of the show.
We've already talked too much about Walt Jr., so that's essentially it. And also his friend, which friend was it that he was talking about?
Lewis.
It's always Lewis.
Lewis doesn't care about anything. Is the biggest rebel in the history of Walter Jr.'s life.
I bet you Lewis gets hooked on Blue Sky. That'll give Walter Jr. just something to be proud of again, just like he was that time when he was trying to save his father.
Oh, hey, Dad, did I tell you that Lewis said he saw Heisenberg? He's going to do a sketch of him down at the police station. You should come with me. Uncle Hank's going to be there.
All right. No, that would be the best turn for that show to take.
But Walter Jr. Oh, man.
Then he has to try to get him to start smoking.
Yes.
The ricin.
Somehow that ricin is going to find its way into poor, innocent Walter Jr.
I've been waiting.
Alright,
so that's what
stay tuned next
week
for more Walter Jr. stuff.
I can't wait. What do you think he's going to be eating this time? Oh, I just want to be surprised.
Please don't tell me. Please don't tell me.
Alright, so one thing that's that was a big part of this episode was the money. Okay, and specifically it was money and what it means to Jesse, how Jesse is treating this money. But also, it was the idea of, like, what should be done with it. Mm. He tries to give Jesse himself decides that he wants to just give his money away, because as you mentioned, he is absolutely sick of himself and what he's done.
Hence the title of the episode, Blood Money.
Oh yes, that was a callback.
Jesse cannot keep this on his hands any longer.
No,
that was a great scene at Saul's when he to get into the office, he starts smoking pot. There must have been some other thing. Couldn't they just kicked him out? Isn't that what the bodyguards
were? Well, they're not going to kick him out because he
had because just, he's powerful.
He's powerful.
Well, then why did he just
$5 million? How much business has he given Saul already?
But then he would have just gotten anyway. Well, so so he goes to Saul's. He wants to give the money. He wants to give half to the little kid's family, Drew, what's his name, and half to Ermintrout's daughter.
And now, granddaughter.
Granddaughter. Kaylee. Great name. And that's when you get the sense that Jesse, all of a sudden, is kind of like a genius. Because I don't know about you, but I would never have assumed that Mike would be dead. But he does, just because.
Yeah. That was a pretty big jump there, because there was nothing really. Although we watched that last episode last time, and there was nothing leading Jesse to think that Mike would be dead.
I know. They were sitting around the phone talking to Mike, and he's like, I got this bag at the airport.
Yeah.
And Walter's like, I'll get it. And he never once said, no, you shouldn't get it because this could happen. You know?
Nope. And then they... No, well, actually, that was where Mike... See, that's where you started to get this idea of... we'll get back to... Like, Jesse finding out that Mike's dead was really suspect as far as a writing thing, or at least assuming it. I mean, I'm assuming... myself, that it's because he just has figured Walt out by now and he sees through it, which we see a lot in this episode.
Yeah. That's a loose end.
That's not how you do things. Yeah.
That's why Walt has to always keep Jesse around, because Jesse's one of the only people that actually think he's great. You know, he's always like, Mike, just give him a chance. This guy can do anything. You made poison out of beans, man.
Well, that's going to end this half of the season. It already has last night. That conversation, there was a lot of really good dialogue in that entire episode last night. That was probably, if that ending hadn't come, which we still haven't gotten to, if that ending hadn't come, Jesse's scene with Walt probably would have been like, that would have been the standout dialogue of the entire episode.
It was very standout, and like we were talking earlier about how
Aaron Paul might have gotten an Emmy right there.
Yeah, there were several Emmy-worthy scenes for that guy, and that's going to be 3 for him. I'm locking it in. He will win an Emmy for this season. I don't even care what happens for the rest of it. But like you said earlier about how Walt was a good liar, in that scene, not so much. You know, he was kind of like, and it was definitely intentional on Cranston's part, because,
and I think the writing,
he was kind of shocked that Jesse was that smart to figure it out. So he was like, "What? No, old Mike. I just talked to him last Tuesday. He's fine."
No, Mike
can do anything.
Mike can take care of Kaylee.
I need you to believe this, Jesse. Even though I let you, the love of your life, die, and I've ruined your life in so many ways.
Well, Jesse doesn't know that yet, does he?
Can you just please? He doesn't know that, but can you just please take my stupid, like, meaningless promises and be like, "Oh, Mr. White, I still." It's like Jesse. I'm still not going to go with you on he's the moral center of the show. But it is vastly becoming, you want Jesse to make it somehow, and you want him to, like, figure Walt out, and you want Walt to just kind of get it. Just get it. Just get whatever. Is that whatever's coming to him. The bastard.
No, I agree. You do want him to get it. And I think, I mean, he hasn't gotten it yet, but he kind of has. He's on the run completely. He's got, like, back in Albuquerque after jumping around. He's buying huge weapons. Nobody obviously likes him.
He has no friends.
He's lost his house.
He has, like, no friends.
He's kind of already has gotten it, but he does need to. He needs to get all of his comeuppance.
Yeah.
I mean, as it goes on further, and we see more to this spiral towards, towards good old 52.
Yeah.
I think we're really seeing how Walt loses it, and that, like, how bad it does get for him by his own doing.
That's what's interesting about them doing the future, like, piecing out of information. Because weren't you kind of interested in seeing seeing Walt get caught? You get to see it, but we don't know. It doesn't matter.
All right.
However it happens, we already know it happens.
Jeff, why don't we just do it? Let's just cut to the chase. been beating around the bush for too long here. Right. That fucking ending!
Ah!
That was amazing.
Insane.
That was probably... There's no way that you could have told me that that is what was coming in this episode. Like, I would have never believed... I would have, like, been like, are you fucking kidding me? They've got this golden moment now. Like, now the moment's dangling in front of us. The Hank Walt confrontation of I know who you are moment. It's the one that everyone that's been watching the show is just waiting. When does Hank get it, and when does he confront him?
Yeah, and they didn't drop the ball on it, man. They nailed it.
No, they nailed it, and they took it out early. They took it out at dinner, as Elaine would say.
But they could have, if Walt leaves the garage after saying, oh, blah, just stopping by, if he leaves the garage and drives home and then, like, has a moment where he's sitting on the couch thinking about what he's going to do, it's still a great episode. But no, he doesn't do that. He turns back around.
Turns back around.
Hey, did you happen to, just wondering, I was under my car this morning. And I found one of these little GPS devices. And, like, have you ever, like, we kind of used these, me and you, when we were hunting Gus Fring. Remember that time? Remember that time that me and you, Hank, were hunting Gus Fring? Like, wasn't that just a perfect jab? But he's like,
Yeah.
You're such an idiot. You're going to try to GPS me now? You know what? Screw it.
That was the best.
I'm just going to ask.
That lead into it was what made that so incredible, was it? It was just like, oh, by the way, this thing. Oh, are you feeling uncomfortable now a little bit already? Because I know you feel uncomfortable because you found this book, okay?
You should have said, before you even said the GPS thing, you should have said, have you seen my copy of Leaves of Grass? I know you're not a big Walt Whitman fan because you're a moron detective guy.
Hey, I was reading that.
Walt Whitman?
I'm not done. That's my book. It was given to me as a gift.
I'd appreciate it if you'd not take my reading material out of the bathroom. It's important to me. It's not cool, man. I don't care if you're my brother-in-law.
Plus, it's just unsanitary. It's just covered in shit particles.
Yeah. The shit particle books stay in my own house.
But he threw it into Hank's face that he knew. Without, like, that was the part that really, like, I was like, how, like, are they really doing this now? Like, that he started to actually just start implying, like, I know you might have a reason to be, without ever saying it. He waited until the middle of that speech. It actually took until, I think the line, are you gonna, even if you can convince a judge and jury and my family and everyone that I'm that person.
Yeah.
Like, that was, before that, he never even said, you're right, I know you got that book. It wasn't even that. Like, he got punched in the face.
Yeah. He was hoping, he was just kind of feeling Hank out. Like, how, what could be the reason of
Hank
this thing
was
being
very mad?
Could he just be like, all right, so say I tell him that the GPS is, I found the GPS in the car. Maybe he goes, oh, and, like, acts embarrassed or whatever, and then he, but no, the fact that he was so mad, that kind of gave him the sense that, you know what, I know. I already know. So that by that point, what's the point? What's the point of, like, faking anymore? We might as well. He throws it. Yeah, like you said, that perfect comment of even if you could convince people that this was the truth.
And it, well, then obviously the icing on the cake was, you know, because Hank knows, and Hank's still as Walt's lying here, like just completely like still pretending like it's not. He's not this Heisenberg guy, or he's not, you know, the guy that Hank is accused of all these crimes, which is how Hank did it. You know, you did this, you did this, you did this. Even after that, Hank's staring at him saying that the iconic line of the entire episode, the opening, he's saying, I don't even know who are you? I don't even know who I'm looking at. And then Walt says, If you don't know who I am,
if you don't know who you're talking to, then your best course of action would be to tread lightly.
Amazing.
Oh, my God.
It was amazing. It was, and it, I think it was, like, one of the most key moments, obviously, like, every moment from here on is going to be one of the most key moments of the entire series. Like, that's what the impression I got from last night. They're not sleeping at all in any of these next seven episodes.
No,
but
man,
that moment, that line was more badass than anything he might have said this entire time.
It was, and it's great that they let you know that he has cancer. And that it happened just after he got out. Because think of it. if you are just getting out of being the most successful meth cook in the world,
mm-hmm.
and you give it up and you're rich beyond all whatever, and you find out you have 6 months to live, then why wouldn't you just drive up to your brother-in-law DEA's house and be like, oh, hey, we're going to like talk about this now. What, like, what's the point? Like, he has so much courage. There's no scene. Think of Hank Walter from like season two. He would be in the bathroom. Oh my god! Oh my god! He would be like, "What do I do?"
Not even season two. Season four, when
Gus walks away from the car and he's like freaking out. He's like almost crying. He's like, "No, get in the car! Get in the car!"
Well, also, when they found Gail's notebook. At first, he was like nervous. So obviously, he got drunk at dinner and started making some claims and stuff like that. But prior to that, it was like that. That was like the last moment where it was like, "Oh my god, I'm gonna get caught." That classic Bryan Cranston like look on his face. But at this point, you're right. He is so courageous.
Yeah, he's got that old man scowl where his jaw like kind of.
And the goatee's helping too. Yeah, the goatee is pretty badass. And it's such a different Walt than what Hank has been dealing with. And I think that's what that weird disconnect of first, obviously, Hank was really mad because he had been duped all this time. And if he got that mad about Gus, you know, finding out that Gus was doing this.
Yeah, that's the great thing about this show and all the philosophical concepts that come into play of free will and decisions and consequences. Because, hey, maybe if Hank wasn't such a big macho dick to Walt all those years, he wouldn't have treated him this badly.
Well, that's what I think, and I know that's a pretty big consensus on the old internet there. A lot of that had to do with Hank's machismo and Walt's reaction to it. Like, as he started to get this secret where he knew that he was a badass in a lot of ways, where he started to realize this, I'm this guy, I'm this, the alter ego Heisenberg, as that started to kind of rear its head for possibly, for all we know, that could have been the first time ever in Walt's life that you know, he had ever had this touch of this courageous, why do we keep saying courageous? That almost makes him like a...
Bravado?
Yeah, bravado's good. Yeah, having this bravado, having the cojones...
Ballsiness?
The ballsiness, I wish there was a word that, like, ultra...
It was a good moment for Walt because he always wanted to be respected as a genius, mastermind, leader, kingpin guy. But, you know, he got kind of the raw shake from Mike, and he got Gus being like, I'm just going to replace you with the nerdy guy, and you're not all that hot. And he's got Jesse hating on him, and he's got Saul being like, I don't even want to work with you anymore. But at least he had that moment where Hank was like, I'm kind of afraid of this guy. I can't believe what just happened. I cannot believe that this guy is who he is. And he's just kind of like, yeah, that's right. Heisenberg.
What I was saying before, though, is even when, like, Hank, for him, that has to be such... He didn't get to see it. He didn't get to see, like, it all happened in an instant for him. To go from, you know, Walter White, my brother-in-law, high school chemistry teacher, cancer survivor, gambling addict who made a bunch of money, car, you know, like that, to go from that to he's that other guy that killed all these people that I have all these records on.
Right, but see, that's what...
That in an instant.
In an instant, and it's even better than it's supposed to be because Walt isn't that guy. That
so
he
he's not expecting at all. When he says to him, well, Walt is that. Walt is evil.
He's evil, but he's not, you know, he's not flawless.
Oh, of course.
He hasn't been behind everything the whole time. Like, he had to kill Gus because he was going to kill him.
Yeah, a lot of it was a series of events and dumb luck.
So to Hank's mind, he's like, oh, this guy's been a psychopath the whole time. Maybe he married Skylar, he was a psychopath.
That's true. Even better.
He doesn't know, like, when, he doesn't know about the turn. He really was that frail little brother guy that he was busting his balls at the pool party. Until a couple things happen, you know, the whole...
And that's what I thought he had in the garage here until Walt... Why do I keep saying that, too?
Hank
I'm so
Walt.
Excited. I'm so
they're
excited.
Both, they're both stupid names.
They are
Hank
stupid
and Walt
names.
Are stupid names. I'm sorry to all the Hank and Walts out there.
And
actually,
that's why
I'm not
naming
sorry.
Your son Walt
names.
Jr. is, like, the worst thing ever.
Walter Jr.
Walter Jr.
Where's Walter Jr.? How about a nickname? How about that?
I'd pick a new name, too. Probably not Flynn, but...
Flynn. Lewis likes Flynn. He wants me to be called Flynn. Do whatever the hell Lewis tells you to do, you stinking douchebag.
You hate Walter Jr. with this so much passion.
I don't want to hate him.
I rarely ever see you so passionate about
him. I don't want to hate him. I want to like him. But give him a story. Give him something. We should play that.
Let's play it over and
Let's
over.
Let's go fucking die then.
Yeah, so Hank didn't think that Walt's response of treading lightly must have been an earthquake to Hank, because it was like he knows like what he's capable of as far as all the murders, but to actually have him right there basically saying I wouldn't fuck with me, like that's so monumentous.
And it happened really quickly because he punches him. He's saying, you son of a bitch, this and that. And then he says, have Skylar bring the kids over and we'll talk about it. And he says, that's not going to happen. And then he says, I don't even know who you are. And he says, well, tread lightly. So in just in those few sentences, he's like, oh, my God, this guy's not just going to give it up. Okay. Now that the DEA agent brother-in-law knows who he is, he's not just going to give it up. Are you kidding me? Like, imagine.
Dean Norris looked really good in that scene, too, as far as, like, taking this all in.
Because
the whole
episode,
he was just taking everything in.
Because he knows the case better than everybody, and now everything makes sense.
Everything makes sense.
That's why Walter pulled up next to him when they were trying to get Badger to do the thing. And that's why, you know, he couldn't find all these... Because Walter was there.
You turned into traffic to keep me from getting to that laundromat.
He didn't even mention... The scene where Walter goes in his office crying so that Hank leaves the room to get him a cup of coffee.
But that's the
so
thing.
So he can steal his hard drive.
I don't think he'll... I hope he doesn't even figure that out.
That's another one. It's just going to be like, he's just going to start breaking glasses in his hands. He has a glass. And he thinks of another thing that Walter said. He's going to be cut up. His hands are going to be all cut up with shards of glass.
Heisenberg!
Yeah, next week is going to be sick.
Now, one thing in that last year, everything was great, obviously, but one thing I thought was really great, because it really kind of, it leads back into that lying thing, and also what kind of person Walter White is, and is he really this weak person, was how he tries to tell Hank, like, at first, like, hey, listen, I've got cancer. That's where he drops it. I've got cancer, which is exactly what he did to Skylar when Skylar was like, where the fuck have you been all this time? Like, you know, instead of saying, oh, I'm cooking meth because I've got cancer, he's like, well, I'll just say I've got cancer. And then what happens? Then everything becomes about that, and he's able to go about, like, his business now, even with a little bit more of a little wiggle room there. But, like, here, he tries to say it to Hank to get Hank to, like, soften his blow as far as, like, whether or not he's going to, like, turn him in.
Yeah, the cancer is a good blow softener.
He's trying to play the cancer card, which is really weak, if you ask me. Like, that... And it was watching that scene after watching him lie to Jesse that made me go, this guy is now, at this point, just, like, he's pathetic. I feel bad for him.
He just wants it to be normal. He wants everyone to believe him. And then sneak off and do whatever.
But he's... But he's completely lying. So it's just, like, it's really sad because at the beginning we really liked Walt. And he was an anti-hero because obviously he was selling meth and was involved in this. But it was like, oh, he's actually trying to take care of everything. And, like, even in the beginning, he wasn't trying to hurt people. Like, you kind of bought his lies for a season or two.
Yeah, well...
But as we've gotten away from it to this point now, when he's sitting there saying, I've got cancer, I'm just a dying car wash sale, you know, like, owner. You're like, oh, man.
I'm just trying to make a good business out of the car wash.
Yeah, like...
Just gathering the kids.
That's when I started shaking my head. And, like, before it was like a, wow, you're evil, you're badass. But then that's when it started to become, like, a disgust. That's when I started to feel like Skylar has in many episodes, where she just kind of looks at him and shakes her head. And it's like, I never really got that, because I'm, like, obviously holding Heisenberg in some sort of pedestal still. But even now, it's like, it's even hard for me to do that.
Yeah, he's the hero of the show, but now that you know that he's fallen, it's kind of okay to go along with everybody else with being in shock and disbelief.
Plus, he's also not carrying himself like the supervillain that he is. It makes me sad, but...
Things happen too quickly. He hadn't even got time to settle down yet. And then all of a sudden, boom.
You could have taken up woodworking, building birdhouses.
Birdhouses, yeah. A lot of old guys
do they have birds in? They have birds in Albuquerque, right?
I think they have birds everywhere.
Oh.
Very resilient birds.
Well, at least some people learned something here on this podcast today. So what do you think's happening? I mean, we're leaving off. They cut to black right when they were still standing across from each other in the garage after having all of this conversation. Where do you think they go from there? Do you think Hank realizes that he needs to get his case in order better? Do you think that Walt gets pulled back in? Any predictions? Even like within, like, what do you think's going to happen a minute into the next episode?
A minute into the next episode, I don't think they can go back to the garage. It was just too perfect of a scene. I mean, yeah, they can't be like, it's not like Hank's going to say something back to that. Like, oh, tread lightly, huh? Well, maybe you should tread lightly, you know? What is he going to say? It's the quintessential scene-ending line. So they're probably going to... I'm predicting that they're going to show Walt back at home or driving. Or maybe he pulls out his cell phone right after he says that and he calls Walter Jr. He says, hey, Walter Jr., I'm with Uncle Hank. Want to meet us for some breakfast? Depending on what time of day that was that they had the meeting. Because he's going to use Walter... Maybe he uses Walter Jr. as a way to make Hank not kill him right there, you know? Like, hey, man, I'm still Walter Jr.'s father. What are you going to do? You going to put little Walter Jr.'s father away? Yeah. I can kind of see some stuff like that.
Yeah, happening. He could do that a lot because he's obviously capable of that. But I just thought of something. Eureka, bitch. Okay? Maybe he's actually going to try to get the rice in. I had to get that in. I'm sorry. It's just... Maybe,
good bitch.
Nobody's listening at this point, so we can say whatever we want. Baba Booey, Howard Stern is king of all media. What I was thinking is maybe he's actually going to try to kill Hank with the ricin even before we get to that 52 marker.
Yeah, I feel like there'll be a lot of...
They got, like, this many
Walter
episodes.
Walter trying to poison people scenes.
Yeah.
The next few
episodes. I really think that, like... Yeah, do you think Lydia gets it this season?
Yeah,
Lydia's
got to
come back.
Lydia's got to go big time.
Yeah, at least
she's been too brazen. Then it just, you know... They showed her daughter. So I think her daughter's going to see her...
Oh, I hope that doesn't happen this
get
time.
Get whacked.
No, I don't think so. But at least I hope really that she spent a little bit more time with her daughter and really, treasured that this time around.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most important thing about this show is whether or not Lydia could have a good relationship with her daughter.
No, I also want to know what Jane's dad is doing now.
I don't know. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think we are going to pick off in there, but I think it's going to be a little bit more of a, like, I'm going to get you, you know, you just wait. Sort of thing, like, because I don't think Hank is going to back down from this tread lightly threat. And I think after that, it really is now Walt again trying to tie up loose ends, and then also dealing with this cancer. Skylar is going to be found out, I think, by Hank. I think he's going to figure it out.
Yeah, I have a feeling Skylar ends up in jail at the end.
Oh.
But we don't have to do all kind of end-type predictions. I'll say one thing.
But I definitely think, now that, like, this has happened so quickly with finding out about Walt, I'm definitely thinking that Skylar is going to be outed as laundering the money or having a part in it.
She can't just get away.
Just wonder if that's going to be sad or if, like, he's going to just fucking lose it again.
He's going to lose it. That's the way it works. Even when you think that the person must understand, they won't. They'll just be mad. Especially Marie. Marie will disown her. Hank and Marie will have to, like, take custody of the kids. Which, by the way, they do have a daughter. I don't know if you knew that. They have, like, a baby girl.
Holly. Yeah, I know. Walt Jr. was walking around the pool.
Oh, that's right. I forgot because they never show the baby.
Yeah. Except,
but he was. He was.
No, they always show the baby. She's always just doing baby things. She's laying in a bassinet or, like, someone's holding her and going, ooh, I'm Walt. Look, I'm a dad.
Maybe I just missed the baby because I'm looking at anything other than the baby.
And you're looking, you don't care about the family. You don't care about the Whites.
No, they're a terrible family.
Is there anything else you want to say, Jeff? I mean, you know, this is our podcast. One programming note. We're going to keep up with the Breaking Bad theme here for until the end of the season. And then after that, we're pretty much just going to talk about whatever we want, probably, at this point, unless we think of something awesome. So Richard and the Madman will be here to stay, even when Breaking Bad is gone.
Who do you think would win? Spock, Kirk, or Chekhov?
How do we not talk about that? How do we not bring that up?
Pie-eating contest. Pie-eating contest, go.
This is a travesty. Can we... Aw, man. This is all we got. Okay, that was probably one of the better scenes. Jesse's friends, all of them, Badger, Combo when he was around, Skinny Pete, but especially Badger and Skinny Pete.
Badger and Skinny Pete, two of the most underrated good characters. Because they're
Brandon Mayhew.
They're incredible.
They're incredible. But what they were talking about in this previous episode about this, like, first talking about the transporters, so the what are those called? Transporters?
The transporter is the thing on Star Trek that transports people.
Okay, that's what they were talking about. Okay, so wait a second. So I've been talking about it all along. Okay, so they're talking about the transporters, and that goes into this weird fan fiction that Badger had about a pie-eating contest of the original cast of Star Trek.
Which, I don't know. I'm not a big Star Trek guy, but I don't think there was ever any episodes like that.
No, I'm pretty sure there
was
weren't.
No, and then the crew had a pie-eating contest, but it would be pretty awesome.
But
I would like to see that episode get written.
Now, did you see...
it's science, bitch!
Did you see on Vulture, though? They animated that on Monday morning.
I saw that with the Badger's narration and the actual Star Trek
characters.
Yeah,
that was pretty good, I gotta say. It actually made me go, the guys might have a future if he just applies himself a little bit here and there. I was sad, though, to see him kind of off the wagon. On the wagon?
On the wagon.
On the wagon.
Off the wagon.
He's off the wagon.
How do you think they got the wine of Chinatown back in the day?
See, Seinfeld.
Yes, I'd like to apologize for not showing my Seinfeld colors last week, because Jeffrey Harwood, as everybody knows, was one of the guests at the Alex Theater that Kramer curated for.
Really? What episode is that in?
It's the Alex episode with Elaine gets the popcorn on her shirt and she Alex Theater here at the Alex Theater.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
We're both gonna have to step up our Seinfeld reference game.
Yeah. Note to self: watch more Seinfeld, so that way my Breaking Bad.
We're gonna have the best
skills there.
You can't say anything for certain, but I will say this: I guarantee we'll have the best Breaking Bad Seinfeld references of anybody in the world.
You heard it here. That's a challenge to everyone else in the world.
That is a fact.
All right, so, we pretty much said everything there is to say about the episode Blood Money. I guess we should probably be hitting the old dusty trail.
Yeah, we got a little bit looking forward next weekend. Got some theories, some things to look for. If you do want to check out that animated Star Trek thing, though, pay close attention to the scene where he says Spock always wins these things. There's a poster of Spock on the wall with a headband on.
Yes, like, that's right.
Like he's rocking the headband while he's beating people at pie-eating contests.
That's right. Check that out. That was at vulture.com. Why go to any other websites? You should really just be going to placetobenation.com.
Placetobenation.com, the official website of Jeffrey Harwood.
We'll be back next week. We'll talk more about Breaking Bad. Maybe we could get this a little bit more entertaining for y'all, although probably not. But we're definitely going to talk more Breaking Bad, and we're really crossing our fingers that something awesome happens with Walter Jr. So please check back so we can all talk about it. All right.